পঞ্চবিহারে চায়ন যমুনা তীরবন ছাড়ে যায় কুঞ্জবে জয় গিরি বরধারে জয় গিরি বরধারে যশোদানন্দন জয় ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীরবন ছাড়ে চায় কুঞ্জ বিহারে জয় কুঞ্জ বিহারে জন বলা জয় গিরি বরধারে জয় গিরি বরধারে যশোদানন্দন জয় ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীরবন ছাড়ে যায় কুঞ্জ বিহারে রে কৃষ্ণ 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 রে আরে হরে রাম তোমার মরে আরে হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 রে আরে হরে রাম রে রাম তোমার মরে আরে হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 রে আরে হরে রাম রে রাম 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 রে আরে Jaya Kunjari Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granta Rash Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritam Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udiraye. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saved the Universe. Text 42 till 44. Tata Karatali Kritya Vyapi hala halam bishan Abakshayam Mahadeva Kripaya Bhuta Bhavanaha Tatak Karatali Kritya Vyapi hala halam bishan Abakshayam Mahadeva Kripaya Bhuta Bhavanaha Tatak Karatali Kritya Vyapi Halahalam Visham Abakshayam Mahadeva Kripaya Bhuta Bhavana.
Thank you.
Yes, I will read, because I will read till 44. But this is the verse that is in the blackboard, therefore, that's the verse. Yes, I will read till 44, but I can read the other verses. That could be. Yes, but the purport is very short, so I prefer to. The Srila Prabhupada give the class. Actually, this verse 42, the purport is less on one paragraph, and then 44 is three paragraphs, and then we can't even finish the chapter and start a new chapter tomorrow. Okay. Then I can do 42. I will read word by word. Tata, thereafter, Karatali Kritya, taking in his hand, Vyapi, widespread, Hala Halam, Kol Hala Hala, Visham, poison, Abakshayat, drunk, Mahadevaha, Lord Shiva, Kripaya, out of compassion, Bhuta Bhavanaha, for the welfare of all living entities. The translation, thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. So now I will read from text 40 to 42. Text 40. My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activity for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me. Text 41. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. After informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison. And Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so. Text 42. Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. Purport. Although there was such a great quantity of poison that it spread all over the universe, Lord Shiva had such great power that he reduced the poison to a small quantity so that he could hold it in his palm. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes, but those who try to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things will certainly be killed because of such activities. Translation again. Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayati Grim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have prepared verse 44. One thing I can propose for the classes, I can arrange the classes because there is a website, it's called Srimad Bhagavatam Audio Classes, and they have already, we can copy from there, they already have classes given by devotees in sections, when there are, so we can just, I can copy from there and put in a file, so we can. Yeah. Okay. So here, there are many points that we can appreciate in this pastime of the ocean of milk, the churning of the ocean of milk, and in this particular section of the qualities of Lord Shiva. But the main quality that is highlighted in this section is compassion. In the highest expression. And in the purport, Prabhupada is highlighting another point, which means to don't try to imitate great personalities. Especially, don't imitate them in terms of your own sense gratification. Because if you try to imitate at least the compassion of Lord Shiva, at least you might not be able to achieve it, but it's a good endeavor. But trying to imitate others' aspects, like Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, that because Lord Shiva, it is said that he smoked ganja, or for instance, he drank the poison, so you may use that as an excuse or justify your behavior, for instance, toward pleasing your, having a psychedelic experience, and then you can justify with the scriptures, because Lord Shiva used psychotropes. But that is not the use of scriptures, and this is not the idea of this moment in which Lord Shiva is drinking poison. The idea is that if you imitate something, it's the compassion. That's the principle here. It's not that Lord Shiva drank poison. And even though Prabhupada also, he said in other sections of his work, that if you want to smoke ganja, then you have to also drink an ocean of poison, no? And nobody can do that. No, if we just drink, I think, even a drop of very dangerous poison called, in Spanish the name is cianuro. Cyanide, yes, cyanide, we just die immediately. So imagine two drops, but an ocean is. So it was such a powerful poison that Lord Shiva's throat became all black, therefore he's known as Kalakanta. But Lord Shiva survived because Prabhupada is explaining that he reduced the quantity, it became concentrated, but he was very powerful, although it was very concentrated poison. Because Lord Shiva is not a jiva, he's not a living entity, ordinary living entity. He has his own category as a Shiva Tattva. He's not a mortal like us. So he could survive. And also it became, the black mark became like an embellishment in his, that the devotees admire. All his followers admiring him, this mark. It's not like someone else may have an accident and then you have a scar or a mark, and it's not very pleasurable to see. But in Lord Shiva became something like very wonderful and beautiful. His mark, his black mark in the throat. So, in compassion, how we can not imitate also in the levels of Lord Shiva? Because if we try to drink again ocean of poison, even not for our sense gratification, of course, but for saving someone, we died immediately. So there are activities that great personalities are doing that if we try to replicate, we are finished. Like Vasudeva Datta is another great personality, that he asked Lord Chaitanya that he was willing to accept the suffering of all living entities just to save them and give them liberation. So he also had the power. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, he said, it's not necessary because I have saved them all already. And then we have King Rantideva, who also was willing to give his life for saving people from suffering. So he was doing a fast. He was fasting for almost 1 year. He was about to die. If he didn't break his fast, he would die. But at the moment he was trying to break his fast, different personalities start coming. Each personality that was coming was asking him for some food and something to drink. So he couldn't break his fasting. Later on, when he was about to break because he was on the verge of death, another person came, a Shudra, and Rantideva, again, he was so overwhelmed by compassion that he was not, he didn't consider that he could die if he didn't take some food, that he instead offer a prayer to Krishna. And again, the meaning of that prayer, I can read it, but the meaning is again the same principle that Lord Shiva is highlighting to Bhavani, his wife. He said, I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the eight perfection of mystic yoga, not for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they may be free from suffering. So again, he, like Vasudeva Datta and Lord Shiva, and request the Lord to, they are willing to suffer any type of situation just for the sake of other living entities. And that's also the quality of Srila Prabhupada. He also he was willing to take so much suffering that he gave initiation to so many people. He didn't even consider the qualification. He was giving shelter to so many people. And he gave up a very comfortable position, and He was 69 years old, and by material calculation, it was impossible what he did, and even to go in a ship in the middle of the ocean. So this quality of compassion is very high, and if we just try to follow exactly, probably won't fit us, and we may not have the power to do it. So we may end up just maybe regretting, or I'm realizing that I'm not very compassionate, and then dying or asking for some help. So the scripture does not encourage us to imitate, but it's meant to inspire us. It's giving us inspirations. Therefore, we have a lot of ideas, situations of devotees there who are beyond us in terms of realization and devotion, but they are giving us inspiration. It's not the idea that we have to follow in the footsteps, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta, but not imitate. So following the steps is to absorb the principles that are being given by these devotees and apply them in our lives. And imitation is not taking the principle, but just taking the situation and just try to imitate. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he explains in Madhurya Kadambini that at the beginning stages of devotion in Bhajana Kriya, when we start practicing Krishna consciousness under guidance, one of the first symptoms of a devotee is called Utsahamai, which means premature enthusiasm. Premature enthusiasm is also means false enthusiasm. And it means that it's similar to imitation. It's like a cheating oneself. But it's a natural process. It's the beginning in which the practitioner is thinking that he has he's more advanced than what he really is. He cannot see the reality, but he's in a bubble thinking that, oh, now I'm very, very advanced. And I also know the scriptures very well. And so therefore he may try to do things that are beyond his level or her level. But then suddenly this practitioner is confronted with reality. And so, for instance, if he or she is trying to chant the holy name for all day, then he or she will realize that I'm not able, my mind is not capable of doing that. Or if that person, the practitioner, will think, oh, I have so much compassion, and he goes to the streets and he's thinking, I feel compassion for the people, I will give the books. So he's giving the books, or she's giving the books. But then someone treats him badly, no? And say, what are you doing here? And then this person becomes very upset. No? He says, wow, what are you saying? I'm here for compassion for all living entities, and you are not appreciating that? Why you do not appreciate my compassion? No? And then he starts having bad encounters with other people, and finally it's by the realities coming, and he starts realizing that he's not very different to the people that he meets outside, that he also gets upset like everyone else. And So therefore, in later stages, the devotee becomes more self, more introspective, and start seeing. It's called the stage of anartha nivritti, in which you start realizing that I have a lot of work to do. So I have to do a cleaning, inner cleaning, instead of just seeing the dirtiness outside. I have to realize that I have dirtiness inside also. So my business is to, my compassion will be expressed by cleaning my dirtiness so that I can become a capable recipient for giving compassion and helping others. So then the compassion becomes manifested more in helping oneself to help others. In that level. So therefore, imitation is impossible in one sense, because you can only imitate for some time, but you cannot imitate for in a long run. So this utsahamaya, premature enthusiasm, later it can become the opposite when the practitioner realizes that he doesn't have that compassion, and that he or she may be in with a lot of bad habits, for example, which means dirtiness in the heart, and then he or she will go to the next the other level, which means now I'm the worst of all devotees. I am the so fallen speech. So now, instead of imitating, it's impossible to be a good devotee, because I can see, and I am the worst. Therefore, I'm not going to do any service, or I'm not going to preach, because I'm so fallen. That how can I preach? Or how can I help others? So the scriptures are not promoting these two. Side are not trying to make us feel low by showing us how compassionate is Lord Shiva, so we may feel, oh, I'm nothing, just let Lord Shiva and the great devotees save the world and do something, and I cannot do anything. Or the other type of inspiration that would be, I can be like Lord Shiva, I have to become the greatest devotees of all times, and I will save the U.S. and I will save the world. This is not also the idea of the scripture, that to, it's not promote your greatness, and it's not also to promote your feelings of worthiness. It's just to put you in reality. You know? So that the scriptures are giving us inspiration of taking shelter of these great devotees, obtaining the mercy, and whatever mercy one can get, then share that with others, because that's the principle. These great devotees like Lord Shiva, they are not interested in their own benefit. So the principle is that we are not utilizing scriptures or spiritual practices to increase our our happiness or our greatness, and then just keep it for ourselves. This is not the idea, because we can see that the happiest devotees, sometimes these are the devotees who are more willing to suffer for others, because their happiness is actually transcendental. It's beyond so-called material happiness and distress. So the scriptures are trying to encourage us to take shelter of great souls by following in their footsteps, and then sharing whatever we can get from there. And we have Srila Prabhupada. He have the capacity of working in that same level of the great souls, like Lord Shiva and Vasudeva Datta. Even there are, he was aware of that. There is a letter in the 50s before he came into America, and he's writing to some very important politician, and Srila Prabhupada is saying, I have been given the key to free myself from material life and freeing others. I'm paraphrasing, no? But it's the documents. If someone is interested, I can give them the letter. But the idea is that Prabhupada knew it and he was telling others. So this was not utsahamai. It wasn't premature enthusiasm. No? He really was in reality and he was liberated. And we can see that because whatever he said in that letter, he was putting into practices many years later. So what contribution can an ordinary person can do? Or is it bad? We have to be great devotees to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Or is a failure in Krishna consciousness to admit reality where to come into senses in which is your level means that you have to live with a feeling of failure? That at the beginning I was thinking I will be like Srila Prabhupada, and then, but no, now I have to live with this this weight, heavy weight of accepting this. Or this is also another part of illusion, because actually we are all part and parcel of Krishna, Satchidananda, and we really can become like Srila Prabhupada. So what is the best approach to run this marathon in Krishna consciousness? Because we are supposed to practice all this life, and if we can't, if we don't get the higher success in this life, we're supposed to continue practicing in another life, in this life. So what does it mean to be positive in Krishna consciousness, and what does it mean to be negative? Does it mean to be negative to say, I am not a great devotee? Or does it mean to be negative to say that, and that will pull you down in Krishna consciousness? So we can see examples of contemporary devotees, how they, and also examples of scriptures. We have devotees, for instance, like there's a followers of Lord Chaitanya who experienced difficulty during their time, like Chota Haridas, for instance, but they became successful also, although they had difficulties. Finally, Chota Haridas achieved perfection. And then there is another devotee, Krishna, I think it was Krishna Das, who was serving Lord Chaitanya. And he was attracted by bad habits, and he left the company of Lord Chaitanya, even when he was serving him in person. But later on, Lord Chaitanya saved him. And he said, I don't want to do anything with this devotee because he's mischievous, or he's not fit to serve me. But he gave him to the other devotees, to Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda took care of him, and they gave him mercy, they gave him services by giving prasadam to the devotees. He was in Jagannath Puri, so they sent him to Shantipur to give Navadip to give prasadam to Mother Sachi and other devotees and tell stories of Lord Chaitanya. So this devotee somehow he came to reality. His reality was that he wasn't like Srivastava Thakur. He wasn't in the same level of Murari Gupta. He was part of the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, but he was not the kind of devotee who would be glorified by his great advancement in Krishna consciousness. He would be known as a devotee who had a difficulty. But still he accepted that and he took shelter of the other devotees, of the great devotees. And by taking shelter of the great devotees, he became also a great devotee. In the sense that he was satisfied by the service that Lord Nityananda gave him. The same with Gopal Chapal. He was a Brahmana who was thinking himself very advanced in Krishna consciousness, and so advanced that he was thinking that the other devotees were less than him. So he offended Srivastava Thakur, and later on he has to suffer because of his offenses. And finally, he took shelter again of devotees. So instead of just accepting defeat and say, I am not a great devotee, I'm just a fallen devotee, what can I do? He just took shelter of great devotees. And by taking shelter of great devotees, following in his steps, he became also a great devotee in the sense of tasting Krishna consciousness. So the success in Krishna consciousness is the capacity to take shelter of great devotees. It's not more like trying to become a great devotee, but more like trying to become a servant of the great devotees. Because that is actually the quality of a great devotee. So the scriptures are giving us these great personalities, examples of great personalities, so we can be inspired and admire them. So then we want to take shelter of them. And it's the same with contemporary devotees, like Srila Prabhupada. Again, he gave this great example. And so we can be inspired by him and take shelter and be part of his movement. And in any capacity we can serve, we contribute. And Srila Prabhupada wasn't expecting that every single devotee would be exactly like him. But he was expecting that we would have the same spirit than him, that he put in the books, you know, the spirit of pure devotion, but not the same activity that he could do. That over the years it was shown that not everyone could come to that level, like Srila Prabhupada. But everyone can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. So it's not, again, if you cannot be like Srila Prabhupada, it's not like you leave the movement and say, no, I cannot be like this, I cannot, I'm useless in this movement. So we have many pastimes. The devotees have different capacities, and everyone is serving according to their own capacity. And by taking shelter of these devotees, this capacity is well directed, and therefore they get the benefit of Krishna consciousness. So it's therefore finally receiving pure Krishna consciousness is not a question of capacity, but it's a question of, again, of taking shelter, of receiving mercy. And when you realize that it was mercy, which means mercy means something that you don't deserve, basically. So that's when you realize that, this is when you can accept your reality. Because you accept, okay, I am not fit, I don't have the qualities of these great devotees, but by mercy, I can achieve that. I can achieve the goal. And that mercy can be only be given by another devotee who has that mercy. So therefore, my only hope is taking shelter. Devotee, because by my own means, there is no way in this endeavor. It's like if I try to cross the Atlantic Ocean by a crawl, by swimming, you have zero chances of doing it. By the mercy of someone who has a boat, and then you have possibilities. So more your only endeavor is how to get some ticket, a ship or an airplane, so I can cross the ocean. But it's not like training. I will cross, swim in the ocean. I can do it. Yes, I can't. No, it's just use your intelligence. How can I take shelter? How can I get a ticket, an airplane, or maybe some money? So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, is your endeavor is more like, how can I take shelter of the devotee? What am I doing wrong? I cannot get the mercy of the devotee. So. But it's not like, oh, I will do it. Mm-hmm. Even if nobody believes in me, I'll do it. No. It's taking shelter and seeing what I'm doing wrong, that I cannot, the mercy is not flowing. Is there any comments? Oh.
I've been very moved by these classes the last couple of days. Subal Prabhu spoke on compassion, Vaishnava compassion yesterday, and you're continuing. For some of the devotees here that know me personally, I come from a tradition that speaks a lot on compassion, and it's something that I really need to feel and experience, to experience something real and true. And I'll make this short. I mean, when you're speaking, so many things were welling up in my heart, and if I share everything, there's not enough time. So I'll make this comment short, and then I have a question. I feel like Krishna is the most compassionate, the Supreme Lord, and that Srila Prabhupada is the most compassionate spiritual master, and we've been so graced that he visited us in this time. And even in this day, we can have association with his direct disciples, which is so compassionate for us on an individual level and as a community. I'll cap it off there. There's so much I want to share. My question is, can you share with us another example of Vaishnava compassion? I could hear this all day. Can you share maybe one more, just example from the scriptures or from your heart? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Well, there are many examples of Vaishnava compassion. Maybe the audience can help me to, like, if you want to propose one example of the many. Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda, I'm hearing from here.
Hare.
Sorry? The example of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's a great example.
In specifically in terms of compassion, and also within the context of your speaking, where a devotee may be out, they have a desire to be compassionate, though they're not really so sober, so they may think they're being compassionate. One example is of even Arjuna. He had a so-called compassion due to his bodily attachment to the Kurus, who he was fighting on the battlefield. And one observation of Vaishnava compassion that I was reflecting on while you were speaking in terms of our acharyas and the sannyasis in our movement is that they're very fixed in this Vaidhi sadhana bhakti program in the mode of goodness out of a desire to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve their guru, to serve the acharyas. And from that position of being fixed in this humble service on the principles of religion, the elements of compassion are naturally arising from them. So they have all these great qualities such as compassion, sobriety, cleanliness. They're mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, these Brahminical qualities. But someone who's not on that platform of sobriety, they may try to imitate that particular quality, like such as compassion. And it could manifest as so-called compassion. You gave the example of, you know, someone may be on the street distributing books, I'm so compassionate, but the person who's there receiving the book can see, well, actually you're under quite a bit of distress, so how can you really express compassion? And in terms of Srila Prabhupada specifically, I read it in Lila Amrita that once one is a pure devotee, they become expert in all things. So Srila Prabhupada, he could sit under a tree and play the same melody for hours and be heard. And that simple act was both compassionate, it was sober, and he was an expert musician because people were hearing him even though he's playing the simplest melody. The other day, the Harinam Ruchi devotees were here and we were chanting on campus. We were singing basically one or two melodies for hours on end, and people were very joyously receiving us. Whereas you could imagine if someone were playing very expertly musicians, if they were playing the same melody for hours, very likely they'd be kicked off campus. I mean, we weren't technically allowed to be there doing what we were doing, but we were doing it. And so that element is there, is that out of that devotion to serve, then naturally these qualities will come by the mercy of those who we are serving. This is my reflection. Sorry if I carried on a bit.
Thank you so much. Mitch? No talk. Prabhu, look.
I was wondering if the community here has any devotees who are trained in mediation, because often when you think of compassion, in the material world, there's often interpersonal conflict, and because we're practicing compassion, you know, we're not expert at doing it. But so is there any, for people who want to learn in a very practical way, how to become compassionate and exercise compassion in their interpersonal dealings, are you aware of anyone in the community here who has some training in mediation or related skills that just help translate these ideals into day-to-day interaction? Do you know of anything like that here?
We have here Krishna Lila Mataji, who comes and train devotees in town, Jagadananda Prabhu. Now he's not living here in Chicago, but he was trained by her and he was giving counseling. Of course, compassion can be expressed in many ways, because These are techniques that one can learn, but everyone can learn that. I mean, everyone who is fit can become a counselor. And these are good techniques that some devotees can use in the service of Krishna consciousness. I think Janita is trained for that. However, it's not. This is not compassion in the sense that this is a. I mean, there are compassion in different levels that you can express. For instance, if you're a very strong person, you can express compassion in a level for the body with your own body, like by, for example, a big brother by protecting his young brothers. No? And anytime and a safeguard in the lake, he can be trained to save people when they are drowning. So by being an expert swimmer, you can express compassion there. But the first thing is that you have to have the compassion, which is independent of these capacities. You can be a counselor and not be compassionate, and then use it by money. Like if you are a doctor, med doctor, you can express compassion through surgery, through so many ways, like there are medicals without frontiers that they would travel all over the world, and so they express a level of compassion through their own abilities. So the same within Krishna consciousness, you may not be a counselor, but you can express compassion just by chanting Hare Krishna, by doing it seriously. And you may not even interact with many people, or may not have the skills to interact, but you're doing it with compassion. You're maybe praying to Krishna, you know, for other living entities, or maybe for few that are in contact with you. So you can express compassion through prayers. So there are, this is, the tools are independent of compassion. So compassion can be get only through Krishna consciousness when we are talking about the highest compassion like Lord Shiva. So by practicing a spiritual process, compassion can be awakened. But then how do you manifest the compassion? If you want to interact with people, you may need skills, and then you have to work for that, and that's an expression of compassion. And it takes time, maybe to become a counselor or something, because you want to express some Krishna consciousness through those channels and go to people. Does it make sense? Yeah.
Just to give an example, if a person's a terrible cook, then the compassionate thing would be to not cook for the devotees, right? So there's certain things that we have to, like you've been speaking, you know, we have to know what is our expertise, what are our strengths, and what are our weaknesses. And one feature of the material world is everyone is very weak in interpersonal dealings, relationships, just having normal interactions. We're committing offenses all the time, you know. And that's born out of this constant stream of offenses to Krishna in our negligence to him. So I was just wondering on the topic of compassion, because often people come into our Hare Krishna communities and they hear about compassion, they hear about service, but then they don't always see that in interactions with devotees. There is one story of a person in this community who was a bhakta outside for a long, long time. I heard this when I first came to the temple. And eventually the temple president, one of the formal temple presidents or somebody, asked this person, you know, why didn't you join the temple? Because I've seen how you come to kirtan, you honor prasadam, you like to listen to class, you like Krishna. Why don't you join the temple? And this person said, well, as long as I'm a guest, people treat me very nicely, but I've seen how you guys treat the devotees in the temple, you know? As soon as we have familiarity with people, we take them for granted, usually. That's what goes on in material dealings. So I hear you that there are certain skills like mediation, etc., that don't ultimately encompass Vaishnav compassion. At the same time, in my experience, it's been helpful to have persons who have training in that in communities to help resolve these issues as they come up. And, you know, if we're not good at mediating or we're not that good at preaching, for example, the compassionate thing might not be to not do that, you know, until we learn how to be a compassionate preacher or a compassionate leader or a compassionate administrator. If we don't have those skills, the compassionate thing might be to not do that until we get some training.
Yeah, thanks. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, they find that sue sue dikaras, at my own adhikara, being compassionate in one sense, the idea of this verse is that being compassionate is to be engaged in your own varna, in ashram, in your level, no? To act on your own level. Again, and if you have real compassion, then even if you are not the best cook, you may cook simple and do something. You can do something nice. Of course, it's more complex, but you can be, again, the best cook in skills, and because you don't have that quality of compassion, you may cook with meat, no, or you may not cook like for the benefit of the devotees. And so there are many, you can see in different ways. So again, we come to the point that one thing is to say, for instance, in a community, if I say I'm very compassionate, we are the most loving, caring community, come and join us, and then they join, and you are promoting something beyond your level of community, then and then people come and say, I'm a counselor, you can come. After, look, tell me your problems, or tell me what's going on. I can help you. I don't have any training. So I may commit mistakes. So that is the thing is, if we are not acting in our level, if like Arjuna, he was prepared to act in a war, he was trained to do that. It's not that Krishna put Arjuna and then fight, so he had skills. So for instance, I was having a meeting with some devotees in Mexico, and Hanuman Prabhu from Spain, he was there, and he's training, counseling many things. He does mediation. And at one point, one sannyasi asked him an advice during the meeting. And he said, I don't give advice. and my wife, we have made a commitment of not giving advice for certain reasons. But basically, the idea was that you can help someone without giving advice, just by listening and helping the person to explore different possibilities, etc. But sometimes we are so enthusiastic and not well trained that we just want to give advice to everyone, and then we can commit a big mistake. So sometimes compassion, it can be, I have the compassion, but compassion means that I know that I cannot help you, or I don't have the best idea. So compassion can be, hey, Prabhu, why don't you go to this devotee who is expert? Like Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma was approached by Bhumi and Mother Earth and other demigods that were afflicted because of the condition of the earth, Lord Brahma said, I cannot help you, but we can go to Lord Vishnu. That's compassion. Compassion is not, I'm your savior. So, or we claim as a community, we are the best community in Chicago, just come. No, we have to understand our level and then say the truth and try to work in that level. So we don't need to be compassionate to do, like, to become a trained counselor, but we can become aware that we are not a trained counselor. So we can say, I can help you till here. I can tell you, chant Hare Krishna, do the things, but if you have these issues, I can direct you to another person. So everyone can help and express compassion in different levels according to their capacity, but the important thing is to know your adhika, to understand where you are and what you can do. And Mataji, I think it's... She... Madhavi... Okay. It's welcome. There's another Mataji.
So, Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, I just wanted to share a little bit more on this, as you were saying. In terms of training, could we also consider, you know, service and sacrifice? So, I was thinking, like 4:30 in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about sacrifice, how sacrifice purifies. So, in that regard, I was just connecting it with another somewhat unrelated story, but it has a similar, or we could draw some understanding from it. So there's a story that goes that there's a little boy, and every day he asks his father for, you know, some money, 25 cents or whatever, something little, and his father gives him, and the boy runs away with the 25 cents, and he's very happy. Every day he gets 25 cents, he asks his father, the father gives him, and the boy runs away. So then the father realizes, you know what, I need to help my son understand the value of money. He's just, you know, thinking, oh, my father will keep giving me and I'll get it and I'll just use it and that's all there is to life. So then one day the father tells the son, the son asks, give me the 25 cents. So the son, father says, okay, here's the 25 cents, but I want you to do one thing. He says, what? He says, go throw it in the well. So the son says, okay, goes and throws it in the well. So then the next day, he comes again to the father and says, give me 25 cents. So the father says, okay, today I want you to do some hard work. So I want you to go and fell these trees, cut these trees and collect the wood for firewood and then bring it all home. After that, I'll give you the 25 cents. So the boy works very hard the whole day, cutting trees and, you know, making firewood out of it, collects the firewood and then collects it all at home. It takes him the whole day. So after that, father gives him the 25 cents and then tells him, okay, now go throw it in the well. And the boy is not ready to throw it in the well because suddenly it's hard-earned money. He's felt the sense of, wow, I have had to, you know, I put so much effort in this. How can I throw it? So it's an unrelated story, but to me, the message I get from that, or I'm connecting it with Bhagavad Gita 4:30, that, and in terms of compassion, that if we serve and sacrifice, right, for others, then we will also appreciate them more. Just like if we keep serving ourselves, we appreciate ourselves more. Same way, if we serve the Lord more, we start to appreciate Him more. If we sacrifice ourselves for the Lord, we appreciate the Lord more. Same way, I'm thinking that if we serve and sacrifice for others, then naturally we would, you know, automatically feel the value of that service and sacrifice and the value of the other person, and therefore feel that genuine compassion versus sort of trying to be compassionate at an intellectual level or at a, you know, obligated to be compassionate. So I don't directly have a verse to corroborate it, but I kind of feel like all of our scriptures talk of service and sacrifice, so I'm sure there must be something there too. So just a couple.
Yes, thank you. Suval?
I was just going to say that that we follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and compassion is one of the qualities of such a great personality. But we cannot take compassion, a particular, actually any of the qualities on their own, and then, okay, here we go. You know, compassionate compassion or any of the other qualities, cleanliness, austerity, etc., etc., they all go together. So you cannot have being compassionate without cultivating humility or cultivating tolerance or cultivating respect. So these are all as a package, if we actually following on the footsteps of the great personalities, they're also very humble. They're also very tolerant. They're also very respectful. For example, Lord Shiva, before taking the task of drinking the ocean of poison, he recognized the position of Lord Hari as supreme. He say, Lord Hari becomes very pleased when you actually do something to help people. So then I become very pleased. So, you know, he's taking also a humble position. So it's not just, you know, oh, I'm compassionate, but as you said, I'm compassionate when someone confronts me and puts an obstacle to my display of compassion, then I don't have no tolerance and I become angry and I start to, you know, confront also and maybe offend someone else. So it's not something that is that you have isolated a particular, you know, quality, but it have to go with the other qualities of the devotees. We have to, there's no such a thing as compassion without humility or, you know, these other things. So.
Thank you for pointing this out. Yet again, we come to the point, I think Sanita mentioned, of Vaidhi Bhakti, the practice of that they are given the acharya for everyone, is the chanting of the holy name, the Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So that process, cleaning and being serious in that, also is the Krishna Sharanam, is the source of all other qualities. Like when we are cultivating Krishna consciousness, then the other qualities, they have to come. Of course, you have to do an effort for them to manifest, but the effort is not independent of practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not like you go there and then... But again, that's the main quality, the quality of being or trying to be Krishna conscious, because then the other things can become only skills, which can be good, but depends who is using those skills, then can be even more dangerous. Like, because the ignorance remains, the ignorance of not knowing who we are and what is our relationship with God. So there is nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. So if you are ignorant, you have all the skills, then you have the power of damaging people, and that happening on levels. If you have the skill of religiosity, you can damage so many people. If you have the skill of being a doctor, also you can damage people, and being a lawyer. So when you have Krishna consciousness, you can use these skills to help others. We can give the last
I would just word like to them. I would just like to address a specific point that was made, in that someone from the outside may make the criticism. They see sometimes there's some conflict between the devotees that are living amongst each other. I would just like to speak on that a bit, in that even a bit personally, in that the devotees, particularly the temple devotees who are living in the temple, we are not obliged to live together. We're voluntarily living with people very closely. And this is a very transcendental process. It's different from materialistic life, in that even though there's differences between us, we are actually united in our mutual desire to serve Krishna. And one, just to speak personally again, like for me, I can say I'm living closely with several individuals, And I look at my formal materialistic life, and I know something about their former materialistic lives. These are not the kind of people I would choose to live with in terms of materialistic interests and personality traits. So it cannot necessarily be compared in the same way. And in terms of the difficulties that arise through this transcendental process, one other... Srila Prabhupada addressed this exact same criticism, and he said that in this process of devotional service, we're becoming purified. So one cannot criticize someone for being dirty while they're taking a shower. And in terms of anartha nivritti, on the same topic, it's as if there's a lot of dust on the heart. And if it's just left there and neglected, and we just distract ourselves with forms of sense gratification and people who get along with us on those terms, then the dust will remain. But when in the process of cleaning that space of the heart, then the dust is very much in the air. And for the devotees, there may be conflict there, but we're very much feeling it in our hearts. Devotees are sensitive people, and we don't want conflict. But it's happening because we're all being purified here, and it's a transcendental process. I just wanted to address that. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much, everyone, for contribute. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.